This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up. This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary, a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty. You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry. I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
There. We did it. After some technical difficulties, we figured it out. There, I took the feedback away. Eleanor Kerrigan sitting in my kitchen.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
What's up? How are you?
I'm so excited to be sitting next to this Christmas tree and just that you're so jovial and about it. You know, it's supposed to come down on January 6th, but you just keep it going.
You know, is it January 6th? Is that the official date?
It's
that
little supposed to Christmas. Come down? It's like the epiphany. Yeah. My mom, please, I'm so Catholic, it's a sin.
I didn't know, so this, I'm sinning right now by having my Target Christmas tree on the kitchen table, mind
you.
No,
you're not sinning, it's fine.
Is it like, it's kind of like the saddest tree.
I feel like this other tree next to it or whatever this is.
This is a death orchid.
An orchid.
From my hairdresser gave me a dead dad orchid, yeah.
Dead dad orchid. Is that what we're calling it? Dead dad orchid.
We're calling it the dead dad orchid. Yeah.
My God.
I went to go make my hair pink, as you do when.
I love it.
Thank you.
It looks really cool.
I appreciate that. I think, I don't know about you in your life, but when traumatic things happen, you just
start flipping out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, whatever.
I shaved my head once.
You did?
Well, just one side.
Like how much?
Flock like a seagull kind of bullshit.
Were you aerodynamic on one side?
It was, my sister did it. First I did it, and then she had to fix it. Because I have a sister that's 10 years older, and you know there's 10 of us.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
you have 10, from two parents?
Two parents, one uterus, one penis. It's very uncomfortable.
Is that your memoir title?
Yeah, pretty
two
much.
Two parents,
one uterus.
10 kids, one uterus. What could go wrong?
Well, because when I meet people, they're like, oh, I'm from a family of 10, too. But then they're like, but, you know, it's half brother. Or it's my father remarried.
Yeah, and that
my
doesn't
mother.
Count.
I'm like, no.
That's not.
This poor woman. She had a hysterectomy, and she can still get pregnant. It's poor thing. We're only 15 years apart from eldest to youngest. I know.
Your mom's her poor vagina.
I know.
Was it, how many were cesarean?
None.
I need to know.
Zero. Zero. My sister Karen
vagina.
Has two kids.
I have a sister Karen.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, she drives us nuts. Care Bear.
Same. It's
really?
What she does. It's what that name does.
Am I one of the, are we related?
It could be. It could be. I mean, I feel like Karens as a whole are very dramatic.
Oh, God, they're so dramatic.
I'm a little nervous. I'm taking her on a cruise with me.
Where?
I'm doing the Impractical Jokers cruise.
Oh, Jesus. Care Bear's going to be
I'm
a hot
bringing
mess. She's going to be
single Care Bear.
Oh, no. She's going to Robert Wagner that shit.
Oh, yeah. Recently <She's> gonna single. Shit's going to go down.
She's going over the edge.
My sister,
when is it? That's going to be so fun.
That's February 3rd. I'm sorry. I'm going to Philly on February 3rd. It's February 6th through the 10th.
Okay, that's going to be
awesome.
So
I always sneak home a little early, and then I'm going to get her and we leave out of Tampa. So.
How is that? Is she the one you get along with the best?
I get along with all my brothers and sisters. We grew up in, like, our house was, this is bigger than our house.
In Philly?
Yeah. In a row home. The only thing is we had two stories. So we had a tiny little 3-bedroom house.
And how, like, where do you fall in the line of kids?
I'm number 8.
Damn.
I'm down the bottom.
Wow. Christmas must have been so much fun.
Oh, it's the best. And people would come to our house like, let's go to the Kerrigans and see what's going on over there.
The Kerrigan
Those
plan.
People are insane. It's like a circus.
What did you, it literally is. Like, what did you?
Our neighbor used to call us, he was a drunk guy, lived down the street. He used to call us in again, out again, Kerrigan.
Seriously.
And then they would say my mom needed a revolving door.
It sounds like she kind of had one.
Oh, definitely.
Respectfully.
Well, it was always broken, the door, because we would fight so much. We're very Irish.
I mean,
fights happen a lot. And like I was saying about my sister Karen, she's 10 years older. So she was going through hairdressing school while I was a child.
Yeah.
And I was her guinea pig.
Oh, no.
So naturally, for my first Holy Communion, I had a body wave. I mean, who didn't? Right? What a dick I looked like. God damn it.
I'm literally taking notes and I'm writing down body wave. That is I've never even.
It's not even a thing anymore.
No, and it's a difficult hairstyle.
She completely ruined my hair.
Is that why you shaved half your head?
Well, and I think it was like in seventh grade, I decided I wanted to shave one side of my head. And then my sister was like, you fucked that up. Okay. You ruined your hair.
Care Bear said this?
Oh, she's so funny. And she shaved the rest of it. And then my best friend Ivy was like, oh, I want my hair shaved. So Karen did only a little bit on Ivy's.
Oh, my
but,
Lord.
You know, we teased it all out.
I almost did that because Rihanna kind of brought that back. Remember
did
that?
She now?
Yeah, she had like a half...
I lied.
Half shaved head. I saw that last night in the movie theater. I went to go see Mary Poppins and there was this little.
What did you think?
I cried my eyes out. I loved it. Did you see it?
I did not. I was supposed to take my mom and she was like, you're too busy. I'm like, no, I'm telling you.
I just invited you.
I'm here to take you.
I just invited you. Is she in LA now?
My mother?
Yeah.
No, Philadelphia.
She's in Philly?
I go home a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
Because she's 80 now. So it's harder.
Yeah. Gotta do it.
So you gotta go. I might go to see my dad too. He's 83.
Wow.
But they split up when I was like 7.
What did they do for work that they were able to
put a
roof over your head?
Well, that's my mother. My father owned a typewriter store.
What? A fucking typewriter store? How do you make money?
You
how many,
don't.
How many times do people buy typewriters?
I'm gonna tell you how you don't make money. I'm going to tell you, I just don't have anything.
Typewriter store in my life.
I have this jacket of my dad's that he gave me, and it's from when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Because the typewriter store was his father's. And his father's before his.
Wow.
So, but that, it was lucrative.
Of course, back when people were typing up the proclamation.
Right. Yep, that was it. We had to type this shit out. But my dad still types letters.
He does.
I'm not kidding.
Like a typewriter?
Mm-hmm.
There's something kind of really, it's like your dad is Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury.
Your dad is Murder, She Wrote.
Except for he's murdering people. He's just not writing about it.
He's not like reporting and helping. He's actually
he's
doing.
He's who she's coming after.
He's sending ransom notes to everybody. When you say send you letters.
I would get letters in the mail. I haven't got one in a while because he's older now, you know. But when he had the typewriter store, which closed about 10 years ago.
That's a really long business.
I'm aware of that.
Is it like 100, like a centennial?
I would tell.
How long?
I was like, I think you're right. It could have been, maybe 80.
Yeah, I mean, you're pushing at least 100 years.
Because the jacket that I have of his is like at least 60 years old.
Wow, I love that.
Because he was like 20.
Yeah.
Working there, and they had the logo
the
on
team,
the back,
just
carrying
the team
an office
jacket.
Machine
Did
company.
They bowl with it? Like, do they have a bowling team?
No, they're hood rats. We don't bowl.
I know Philly's a lot different. Philly's rough.
We don't bowl.
So what'd your mom do?
My mom, when my parents split up, my mom hadn't worked since before she got married. Like,
which is when she was 10? I mean, how old was she?
18.
Jeez. Thank God
18.
Times have changed.
Yeah, because she was pregnant at, I believe, 20 and had a miscarriage, her first pregnancy, and my grandmother was so nervous that she wasn't going to be able to have kids. She went to church, said a novena. Who knew she had the Lord's home phone number? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, huh?
And then 13 other children.
And my Aunt Joy had 10 kids.
I mean, it's just, you guys,
we have our own gang if we need.
You're ripe. You guys are literally, like, your reproductive system is the produce department in every grocery store ever.
That's what my dad used to call them. My dad said their nickname was the Fertile Parker Sisters.
Have you ever had, are you a mom?
No.
I didn't think
no.
so.
But I adopt, I take on my nieces and nephews. Like, yeah. I'll say, oh, my kids. And people are like, your kids. And like, yeah, my sister like Karen, mom. She had my nephew Sean when she was, I think, 26 or 27.
Yeah, it's young.
So that was her first son and her only son, but she has a daughter. And so she got pregnant with Sean, and my best friend a year and a half earlier had a baby. When I was 15, she was 16. We were in Catholic school, so you get pregnant quick.
Yeah, you pray.
It's immaculate conception.
Yeah, of course.
Sure. Everybody has semen in them.
Everything.
And all I did was drink holy water. And look at this bum. But yeah, so my best friend Franny was pregnant.
The best. That's a great name.
But I saw her give birth, and I think that's why I don't have children.
When you were
15?
I mean, I would imagine, because your perception of life then is so askewed because you haven't had enough experience to make any sort of contextual opinion on it.
And I mean, sure.
Did you look right in her badge hole?
Well, she wouldn't let go of my hand, so I had to go in the room with her. And I was like, and so they just put the scrubs on me. And she went, they didn't have a car or anything. My brother Jimmy had a car, so he drove them to the hospital. She was so.
I can't imagine.
They had
like,
no money. Like,
I was going to say, that time.
Fuck?
And she did fine? Everything turned out okay?
Her parents helped raise her son. And, I'm not going to say he's doing great. I'm not going to say he had the best upbringing.
I
love when people are shocked. Like, do you believe he's a mess?
Is he a murderer?
No, but more like a druggie.
That's a dime.
But no
a
one's
dozen.
Watching you.
Yeah.
You have free reign. Like,
right.
Look, I have 9 brothers and sisters. My parents split up, but my mom was a really, really heavy disciplinarian.
Right, which is good.
And we were afraid of her. We were more afraid of my father because he was a Marine and has no problem snapping your neck and burying you in the basement. No
so did
problem.
You have more siblings before that are in the basement?
I have no idea. It could be. Sometimes I hear like things rattling down there. Not me.
It's your other siblings.
he was scared. He was really scary. Like I remember my brother Charlie got in trouble and he chained him up. He handcuffed him to a pole in the basement. And I was like, oh my God, this is.
Then you look at what's going on now and people are too lenient.
Oh,
they
yeah.
coddle their children. They're celebrating mediocrity.
It's gone the complete opposite.
And then they think that that's the way to do it, but that is just going to create more Kardashians.
Kardashians, I feel like at least were disciplined a little bit in that their mom was like, oh, you're going to work,
a
bitch.
Pimp.
Yeah.
She pimped him out. She's like, you go suck
his
dick.
She's like Joe Jackson.
And I'll distribute it. Yeah, exactly.
The other way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I just worry about like the generation, like the kids now, what that's going to be.
Oh, it's over. We need a meteor. It's just.
We should just blow up.
It's going to blow up.
Okay. The apocalypse would be a relief, right?
Listen, when I found out that kids weren't allowed to touch each other and they're playing games like tagless tag.
Wait, what do you mean?
That
where?
Was it. In schools everywhere. Montessori
here
schools.
In California?
Yeah, California especially.
I mean.
There's a no touch policy and the kids play tagless tag.
That's ridiculous.
I almost beat up a principal when she told me that.
Tagless tag? When did that happen? I need to watch more news.
3 years ago. 4 years
Jesus,
ago.
Jesus, that is so dumb. You're basically telling a kid to not be a kid.
Yeah, they're so afraid to touch one another or go near one another because everything's offensive.
Well, it's offensive because they're creating the offense out of
that's
nowhere.
Right.
Like, tag is so, it's the most innocent thing
that's
ever.
I said to the lady, how do they know who's it?
Yeah, what is it?
And she was like, we step on each other's shadows. I don't know, bitch.
I'm walking into traffic.
I will fuck you up.
Step on each other. That's like the dark art.
I know there's like a fat kid in the corner and everybody keeps running over his shadow and he's still crying. He's not even being touched.
He's not even in the game. He's just eating a snack on a bench. He's like, leave me the fuck alone. I'm trying to eat my PB&J, asshole.
I like these Pop-Tarts. Don't bother me.
Did she really say we step on their shadows?
Yes, she did. I swear to God.
That sounds like the...
That was in Eagle Rock.
Oh, it's so
And I was
brutal.
Like, that's it. It's over. We'll never win a war again. They're no, terrified won't. To touch shit. You know, my dad, those people are gone. Now, my dad's not the best. He's the You're most right. racist, crazy, psychotic, narrow-minded. He's opened up over the years, right. but...
He's from a different generation. He had a exactly. typewriter store. Of course he's, like, racist and narrow-minded. He had six typewriters in
but
there.
But it's weird because he is like a bleeding heart.
Yeah.
And he would never charge people. Oh. I was like, Dad, what are you doing? Like, I remember this black lady came in. She had a typewriter. She was like, I don't know what's wrong with it. She was really sweet, right? And I forget where she worked, but it was like a little local. And she carried it over herself. Like, my dad makes house calls. Like, because the typewriters were heavy,
yeah, I mean,
you know.
Like 20 pounds at least.
She's this poor woman. She carried it over herself. She was very sweet. And my dad fixes her machine. It was a very simple thing that she needed fixed. He fixed it. He cleans it up for her. She sits. He buys her lunch. I'm not kidding. And then doesn't charge her. And I go, Dad.
How do you?
We're starving.
There's 37 people in your house that are hungry.
Sleeping in the same bed. Could you please charge someone? He goes, hey, she was very nice for a colored broad. I'm like, no. No. I'm like, that is awful.
For a colored broad.
I was like. And he goes, and she, I go, why didn't you charge her? He goes, I could tell she didn't have the money. I go, we don't have it.
We're struggling. There was some, my dad was kind of the same way. Like, he was racist for the joke.
Oh, yeah, mine wasn't.
But he still had a little, like, his view was very generational. Mm-hmm. You know, it was in his generation. It wasn't like he was progressive. So he still said they about black people and stuff like that.
Right.
You know?
Those people, you people.
Those people.
You know what it is? My grandma called us, me and my siblings and my mom.
Yeah.
She would always, you people are always late. She called us you people all day. You people are always late. You people do everything wrong.
I love like old people stuff.
Me too.
I really do. My grandma, Jean. She was senile. I mean, it's dementia, but the word we had for it back then was senile.
Right.
You know? And it was a fun form of dementia because she was just loopy. You know,
okay.
She wasn't like, it wasn't a brutal, total misplacement of memory on her part. She just was kind of goofy and forgot how to do stuff.
Yeah.
So she always wore makeup every day. And when we go over there every day.
Did it get weird?
It got fun.
No, because we had a neighbor. Her name was Flossie.
Flossie?
Floss.
Was she Floss? Just one? Like,
yeah, they called her Flossie. But
wow.
It was the best.
And was she a dancer? Like an exotic dancer?
I'm not sure, but I think she had money, my mom said. Like a weird inheritance.
Yeah.
And she still stayed in South Philly in this little row home. But every day she would buy makeup and put it on and it would get bigger and bigger. And the lipstick was everywhere. And I'd be like, oh, hey, Flossie. And she'd be like, oh, hello. Which one are you? You know?
Rich Flossie living in the row home.
She lived right next to my
Just
grandma.
Just still living the bougie life, but in a
but
row house.
But she had dementia. And she would. I would walk her home, and she would go, do I know you?
Oh.
And I'd be like, no, not
yeah,
really.
See.
But when she did that to my mom would get upset. And she's like, I was right there next door my whole life.
Yeah.
Like,
it gets weird. But like,
so your grandma put makeup on a lot?
Yeah, like, she put like whenever we'd go over there for the holidays for Christmas, that's where we go. And I just remember one day she came down the stairs and she
like
had
Sunset Boulevard.
She had hot pink eyebrows.
Yes, that's exactly.
She mixed up her eyebrow liner and her lip liner.
Amazing.
She had brown lips.
Yes,
the brown. It looked like she just ate a shit sandwich up in her bedroom,
and she probably did. And that's amazing. That's why I love her.
Eyebrows. And I looked at my cousin Jennifer and my aunt Carmela. They're like, happy New Year.
Happy New
Merry
Year,
Merry Christmas. Let's
Here
just roll
is.
With it. It's Jean's life as we know it. Like, so that's what we just did. We were just like, pink eyebrows. Let her be live her. Live your life.
Yeah.
You know?
She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, she did. She had her own little moment.
But that's exactly what this lady would do. And then, like, you know, I'd walk her home because she'd get lost. And it was amazing. But her, just to look at her, it looked like she was melting. It was amazing.
It reminds me of that. Wasn't there Drew Carey? Didn't he have like his secretary on that show?
Oh, yeah. Mimi. My sister Kathleen was her for Halloween.
Oh, that's fun.
Tommy was Drew Carey and she was Mimi. Yeah. Oh, and nobody got it.
Sometimes but they look great. Yeah, that's a great costume.
Yeah, they were so good. That's another thing with my family. They're very creative costume wise.
You probably had to be, right?
Yeah, but they can make something out of nothing.
Yeah, like what you guys do as kids? Like, did you like make your own clothes or?
No, we weren't that weird. we weren't that creative, yeah. I should say. But like I said, when my dad left, he didn't really pay child support ever. Like for maybe the first year, on and off, he would give her like $110. That's $10 a kid plus her. And we had a dog. And
One dog. Did anybody walk it? Was it the sort of
thing?
No,
she was her own person. I got to be honest. She was more popular than I could ever imagine.
What kind of dog?
She was sheep and poodle.
A shoodle?
She was, her name was Fluffy.
Oh.
She was so smart. One day I was walking to school. Now, every day I'm out. They're like, oh, that's Jimmy's sister. Yo, that's Karen's little sister. That's Bobby's older sister. You know, it was every day. And I was walking to school and this guy goes, hey, it's Fluffy's sister. And I go, that's it. That is it.
You're the dog sister.
I am so insignificant.
What an honor.
That's how many people knew Fluffy. I was like, Jesus.
That's adorable. It's better than having an asshole dog.
That's true.
You know,
my mom's neighbor now, my brother Tommy was like, what kind of dog is that? It's a cute little dog. And the old man goes, that's an asshole dog. Is that a brand? Is that a kind?
That's a good way to like say it, though.
But the dog always barks. But Fluffy she would jump up, hit the door handle and go out by herself.
She let herself out?
Yep. And one time, like I've told this story a million times, but there was a story I tell about my mom taking us to a Flyers game. And the situation is all of us are home. It's a terrible, terrible snowstorm.
Right.
Kids are off from school. So it's just, you know, basically everybody in this house and my mom is chewing on a revolver, right? And she was working all day. She had to go to work. Otherwise, we don't eat. And
I just snorted.
Poor thing. Oh, no, wait. At this time, I'm sorry. My mom wasn't working. This was right before my dad left.
Right.
So he was fooling around. He was fooling around, and she knew it.
Yeah.
So her stress, that's what I was thinking. But her level of stress was, fuck this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it's the only day I remember of her like that.
Yep.
And because my mom was very even. I mean, she gets stressed out and she'd get like whatever.
But she never like lost her cool with you guys?
Yeah, but it was a weird feeling, this one.
Yeah.
And the only other time I remember is when she was going through menopause.
Right.
And it's just because we were so close together.
Yeah, of course. You can feel the energy
every
change.
Single person.
Yeah.
And so she's holding my baby sister, Edie, that I think was a baby, like a toddler. I mean, a infant.
Yeah.
And so,
a demon other term. Yes.
But, you know, we didn't give a shit. There were so many of us. We were like, just ignore that one. Play with that one.
Grab a kid.
It's like
welcome to the house.
It's like grab living in a playground.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a bunch of different age demons.
Yes.
Yes.
And so nobody could get out. And my dad called and said that, oh, the storm's so bad. I can't get out of the shop, the typewriter store. So I'm just going to stay here, which is a blatant fucking lie.
Of course. You can use the typewriter as a pillow.
Yeah. And we had the radio on to see if schools were closed the next day. So my mom's listening to the radio. And on the radio, they said, hey, the Flyers are playing tonight. If you can get to the Flyer, if you can get to the Spectrum, we'll let you in for free and give free hot dogs and free hot chocolate.
There's dinner.
And my mom was like, you know what? Fuck this.
Yep.
Wrap them up. So it was me, my brother Billy, because we're like, she couldn't take Bobby and Edie because they were real little.
Yeah.
But it was me. I think I was 5.
Did Flossie watch him?
No. She made Karen. Who's
oh, fucking
reason why she's just so pissed off. Because she had a boyfriend at the time named Rudy Valentino.
Oh.
That's real. Rudolph Valentino. was her boyfriend.
That's like, I don't even know how I feel about that.
Nobody does.
Rudolph Valentino?
Yeah, so she wanted to go see Rudy, who was in the hospital. And my mom said, you're not going out. You're staying here and you're watching Bobby and Edie. So Billy, myself, my brother Johnny, and Charlie, she wrapped us up. And Johnny and Charlie are huge Flyers fans. My mom's a huge Flyers fan because they were the Broad Street Bullies. They were, you know, this was probably 77, maybe.
Yeah.
So I was like five, something like that. Right. So I was little, too. And so me and Billy are Irish twins, so we're a year apart.
What does that mean?
Usually you're born less than a year.
Okay. Do you guys look alike at all?
Oh, we all look alike. It's a sin. It's gross. The neighbors used to call us One Face. They have one face.
One Face. That's great.
But she got a sled, and we got out. I'm telling you, it was a horrible blizzard. No one could get out.
And she got a sled to take you guys? How far was this?
A mile. We live only a mile from the stadium. Yeah. Mile and a half, maybe.
I mean, pulling in a sled is a different game in a snowstorm.
But she had Johnny and Charlie.
Badass.
Right? So Johnny and Charlie are a little older than me and Billy. So they were helping. But me and Billy are sitting on the sled. My mom's pulling us. Johnny and Charlie are walking next to us. We lost Billy in a snowdrift for a minute. Like
Billy.
In between cars. I'm like, Mom, the fucking idiot fell off. And Billy and I are the closest because we're terrible people. So he fell off. She gets him, whatever. As she's turning to get him, she's like, oh, she jumps because something comes flying out of the snowdrift. And she goes, holy shit, is that Fluffy? Somebody got to get that. She was out by herself in a blizzard.
In a blizzard?
We have a picture. I put a picture up of her because she's always in the snow. If it snowed, that fucking dog
loved it.
Got out. She went and she was just playing for hours on end.
That's adorable. And how would she get back? Would she scratch on the door
or
something?
Yeah, yeah. And if we didn't let her in, she had another friend down the street named Blackie. That guy would let her in.
That's insane.
The dog's name was Blackie. I don't know what the guy's name was.
Yeah, is that what your dad called the guy?
Probably. he was white, Italian. He didn't speak much English. But he's the guy who called me Fluffy's sister.
Oh, man. Old Italian dudes are so funny.
So cute,
they really are. Even in their, like...
playing bocce ball and shit.
Oh, shit.
I grew up in an all-Italian neighborhood.
Oh, my God.
Most people think I'm Italian, but
yeah, you do have Italian vibe.
We're very Irish.
But then your last name, you're like Eleanor, and then you get to care, and you get the again, and you're like...
There goes a shit and shamrock, bitch.
Shit and shamrocks. Did you, like, was that memory... Do you remember that?
I do remember that. What I remember most, like, I remember my mom being so stressed out and like, you know what? Who gives a fuck? And
was then, she fun on the walk? Like, was it
yeah,
a fun
Yeah, we were laughing.
Memory?
Yeah, we were goofing. We were, you know, the boy, because Johnny and Charlie were just excited to see Rick McLeish and Reggie Leach. That was their favorite players of all time. So we get to the Spectrum. We went in and there was maybe 20 to 30 people in there.
That's it.
So that's why it was empty. And we got to see the Broad Street Bullies, Bobby Clark, all of them, you know, playing on ice. I remember Bobby Clark. Well, my mom says this story, so I think it's her memory, but I vaguely remember.
Right.
And I don't know if it's from her saying it all the time, but Bobby Clark checks this guy from St. Louis against the glass, and we're on the glass. Like, we don't go to Eagles games. Like, people are like, Phillies fans are the worst. They're not from South Philly. We're the people outside robbing you when you leave.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Those are the suburb kids that have nothing to do and can afford
separate
the tickets.
People, of course.
We can't afford the tickets.
Right.
So anybody that lives near a stadium can't afford the tickets.
Lock your cars.
Yeah.
You better lock your cars. Because the no-face Kerrigans are coming.
But
One face.
We will. No-face. No-face is just as good.
It's
Fluffy's
thing.
Sister is a no-facer. But we will charge you to park in random places and steal all that money, and it's not legal, and every car gets towed. We will do all
like
kinds
that's
of
happened
shit
to me before, yeah,
a million times,
yeah.
But
like,
we
this
are
doesn't
those
feel like a parking lot.
Yeah, we are those people.
Yeah,
we are. So going to this was a big deal. You can't afford this shit, and we went and Bobby Clark checked this guy. And his nose was bleeding, you know, because they fist fought
they were tough.
The Broad Street Bullies.
Yep.
And my brother Billy was like, ugh. And he like leaned back like, ugh. And then he was just staring at him. And my mom said that Bobby Clark, like, smiled, like, oh, okay. Let me let up.
I'm scaring this little kid.
This is a six-year-old boy.
Because there's only 20 people.
Jesus. But it kind of winded Billy for a second. Meanwhile, I'm just fucking drinking hot chocolate, like, fuck him up. Yeah, fuck him up, you know, scratching my nuts.
You are. You're, like, rough. You're, like.
I am very rough. And yeah. I think it's because of my brothers.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded.
How many brothers are there?
6 boys, 4 girls.
Yeah. So do you, like, are you the only comedian? That's a question.
I'm the only one that does
professionally.
Comedy, but they're all.
I'm sure they're all funny.
A third as funny as they are. I'd be
I'm sure
soaring.
You are. You have yeah. the comedian thing, but I'm sure you are.
Yeah, but to hear them, like, I've had my brother Billy call me during podcast, and I pick up just because I'm like, you're going to want to hear this. And he needs subtitles. His accent's so thick.
He has a thick Philly.
Yeah. We call him Fredo. It's his nickname.
Do you know Dom? Isn't Dom from Philly?
Of course. Dom's from South Philly and West Philly.
Yeah.
Yes. Dom and I are very close. We go
I
home.
I love Dom.
What I used to do before I did stand-up, because I've known Dom when I was waiting tables at the store.
Wow.
I was a waitress there for 12 years not doing stand-up.
Wow.
And Dom was one of my closest friends. And so he would work.
He's just such a good guy.
Isn't he the best?
Yeah, he is.
He would work in Wildwood, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So that was our spot. And my aunt, the one that had 10 kids, she had a house in Wildwood, New Jersey. So we
a
would
village.
All go in pretty much. I mean, I can remember sleeping there head to foot.
Oh, God.
With my cousin.
I usually sleep ass to mouth. And oh, I'm alone.
And we're supposed to.
Head to foot, man.
I mean, because
you go
had
to see your
10
cousins.
And
Ten and cousins.
They moved out of their neighborhood. They had a big house. I used to think they were so rich.
Right.
Because they had an attic. They had upstairs.
Yeah, when you've got extra layers that you don't sleep in, you're rich.
But they lived right next to a railroad track.
Oh.
So
that's a brutal.
It was a fucked up neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's called Yadin, Pennsylvania.
Oh, boy.
And my cousin Kenny, who just recently passed away, God rest his soul, his best friend got hit by a train, like, they used to fuck around on the train tracks.
How do you get hit by a train? You kind of see it coming for so long.
Mm.
You get
I don't know
stuck?
About that.
Really?
Corners, you fuck
yeah,
around,
that's
people
true.
Play.
And they're fast. If you're
fast.
In a zone where it can
fast.
Cruise
and
through.
And if you think you're being cute.
Yeah, and if you and you trip, it's true. Mm-hmm. I take it back.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, it was weird. I remember I used to go look over there like I was looking into some kind of crazy, because it was like deep down, like it was a hill that went
right.
down, so there was no way up, there was not a lot of surrounding,
right,
you know, it was that train was fitting through there, and that was basically all they had
right
room
right.
for, so you weren't supposed to go down there. So if you like, I would pee a little because I would get nervous, like, I'm going down
kids
this
always love to like test the limits.
Sure
you just want to like get out there.
Oh, let's see what this is, because their frontal lobe's not developed.
Yeah,
and you know,
they don't know they don't know like true pain yet. Speaking of true pain, so you were waitressing at the store.
That is pain.
What years was this? Like, when did you start?
I started as a waitress. I moved from Philly to LA in 1993.
Damn.
I know it.
What a time to like.
It was.
I can't even imagine, because that's an interesting time for comedy. That was kind of like it.
Coming down.
Yes. It was in between the rush and what
when
it
I first
be,
got
know.
There, it was still busy.
So you were in between like leaving the Eddie Murphy era and kind of
yeah.
going into the Dane Cook era.
Like,
I don't mean to like, I'm just saying we're, because comedy evolved with technology and Cook was one of the first to sort of.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I
that.
Mean?
Yeah, yeah.
The evolution of comedy, I don't mean comparing them comedically.
No. I just.
Because we all
the
know
the comedy
he's a
store
tough one.
Is not a Dane Cook place.
Yes. No.
So
and why is that?
Because I can tell you exactly. I can tell you exactly when it happened.
Really?
The owner, Mitzi Shore,
mm-hmm.
I was
soul.
Very close with. I was her assistant for like 5 or 6 years. And I, like I said, I was a waitress there for 12 years. And the reason I got along with Mitzi is because I didn't want to be a comic. So I don't want
right.
any, I didn't need anything from her.
Right.
Other than waiting tables and being an asshole. Right. And sleeping with comics. You know, we make mistakes. So I don't make that mistake no more. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. So working with her, that Jay Davis had this show, and I want to say it was called Rock and Roll Thursdays.
Right.
And I was so happy for this show. I got to be honest, because that's when it was coming down.
Yeah.
So it was the later 90s. Jay had already done Dublin's. You know, Jay's been around forever,
he's
too.
Been around for
and
a long time.
He's the greatest. He's the sweetest guy. And he was doing this show, and I was so happy because I was like, fuck yeah, we got a killer night, and it's packed. And he'd have like Mitch Mullaney, who was terrific.
Yeah.
And he also passed away. I feel like I'm bringing up all these dead people.
It's fine.
Anyway.
I'm dead dad's club. It's all good.
He'd have all these like not store comics, yeah, technically. But Mitch was from like Oakland, I think. Or, you know, so he was trying to get in anywhere. He wasn't. And so was Dane. Dane was from Boston or whatever. So he, but I think they were staples at the Laugh Factory, maybe the, yeah, Improv. I'm not sure. Because at that time I didn't follow comedy, so I didn't really know. All I knew is Mitzi came to see the show, probably the second or third one. And she hated Jay Davis.
Oh, man.
And she was like, get him off the stage. Because in her mind, and this is a little bit psychotic, but right, this is who she was. She wanted to approve everybody on that stage.
Right.
Especially the main room.
Of course.
So she had trouble with when they booked it outside, mm-hmm, when we have bringer shows, yep, if you will. And I don't think that was a bringer show. Jay had such a great guest list. Like he was so good at promoting,
yeah,
and getting people. So it wasn't like anybody on that show, nobody had to bring five people.
Right.
So I can't call his thing a bringer show. He hustled old school.
Yeah.
You know, he used to work with this guy, Brett Bolthouse, who
it's quite the name.
Huge promoter. And I only know him because I think he either grew up with Pauly or he was best friends with Pauly Shore. So Mitzi used to rent a house to him. But he would get us in any club. You can do anything. He, yeah, was huge. So Jay worked with him. So he learned that business,
right,
that
right,
way,
right,
the promotion.
Yep.
And anyway, so Jay's doing a show. It's packed. I'm thrilled because I could fucking pay rent on time this week, right? Because we've basically been dead.
Right.
And so Jay gets off the stage. I go, Jay, you know, I have to go back and tell Jay because I'm working for Mitzi. You look, don't go back out there. Just have somebody else. Make them tag team right now because I don't want you to get in trouble. She's in a weird mood. And Jay understood, you know, because she's kooky. So then he puts Dane Cook on, who's, by the way, annihilating. I'm not going to say
really?
He was doing bad. He's fucking, is that my stomach or the dog?
That's the dog. Okay. Carlin's mad.
I'm just making
that,
sure.
That he's in the other room. He can't play.
Sorry.
Carlin, leave us alone. Go
Sorry,
lay down.
Sorry, Georgie. I was like, am I that hungry? It can't be.
Literally sounds like your stomach is growling.
So I go, Dane comes out. He's killing. I'm never going to take that away from him.
Yeah.
He was annihilating. And Mitzi's like, who the hell is this?
Cool.
I think his name's Dane, you know. And I really didn't know. Like, I was, yeah, just a waitress. I just was like, okay, this guy's doing great. I don't know who the fuck he is, but he's doing great. And people are happy and they're buying drinks. And I mean buying drinks.
Right.
Buying. Spending money.
Balling out.
Going to clubs, spending money, people.
Yeah.
Not like a bringer show where they're like, I have to buy a fucking drink.
No, they're drinking. They're going to go home and
then
beat
they order
their
tea
their wives.
And you want to smother them.
Yes.
Right?
A hot tea. Can I have a hot tea?
Can I have a hot tea with all the sides? I'll fucking kill you.
Can I get
you.
All the accoutrements?
Yeah. So she goes, get him off. He's terrible. And I'm like, what the fuck? Now, I don't know what his material was. I don't.
Wow.
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
I was just so focused on making money. And I had to go backstage and tell Jay she does not want him in this fucking building. I don't know what he said. I don't know what it was that turned her off. I know he was killing. And I've seen comics kill and her not pass them. But she wasn't there to pass people.
Yeah.
She was just watching the show. But she was such a control freak.
Right.
That it was an outside booked show. She didn't know this fucking guy. And maybe she saw hacky tricks.
Yeah.
That most, the common eye wouldn't know.
Right, right, right.
I don't know. But she never, ever booked him nor wanted to book him because of that. I don't even know if Dane knows that story.
Well, I'm going to just send that little bit. I'm just
kidding. I mean, I feel bad because I said, look, Dane might not be your cup of tea.
Yeah.
But you can't take away what he did.
No, you can't.
And that's what I meant by not a store guy because... it is a certain thing, the store guy, and it was Mitzi's weird Land of Misfit toys that nobody else would put on. Like Andrew Dice Clay, Sam Kinison would never happen today.
Yeah.
But Mitzi had this weird eye, and she was, at first she would fight them too, because I tour with Dice, so I know. And she would be like, it's not going to work with Andrew. Anything he did, it's awful. Don't do that.
Really?
She saw something, but she would fight him on the things he did.
And would he listen to her?
No, never.
He didn't? Well, no. I mean, it worked for him. I mean, talk about a career. Talk about doing something that no comedian has done. I mean, really.
Right. Well, he started it. And that's why he respects like Dane and Sebastian's and Kevin Hart's and anybody that's doing that arena shit. It's hard.
It is hard. And he did start that.
And he did it without the social media.
Yes.
He did it with just the...
Just the content.
Which is why
just
it's...
him.
Yeah.
And that's like...
Which is why his is different. And like
it's
the
so
other
much
ones get an astro.
Yeah.
Astro. How do you say it? Astro. Yeah. Like next to their name. Like they did to the baseball player. You know what I mean?
Because
they have more games. So they...
Of course.
Like, all right.
Yes.
But they have more of a playing field in that they have the social media.
It's a totally different
ball
game. That's like its own little separate thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like... You know, what worked then, would it?
Couldn't work.
Couldn't
work now.
Yeah.
You could do, like, sometimes I fight with Dice because he's old school.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, yeah, once you get on TV, you book your tour. And I'm like, no. You can get on TV and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many mediums. There's so many ways to watch things.
There's
and
so many ways. And
by
you can't
the time
even
they get
count
to
on
your
it.
Show,
yes.
if you will, or your special, it could be 2 years.
Yeah.
So.
And then who knows what the platforms are going to be like then. Like, it's a, I think it's harder for comedians because, you know, you've been in the industry.
Fuck yeah.
They're not the most business oriented folk.
Yeah.
You know, and essentially you kind of have to understand a little bit about everything that is involved in the
entertainment
industry.
Yeah, we all need a little Jay Davis in us.
Yes.
And that we have to learn.
Yeah, learn stuff
the
other
promotion.
Than being funny.
Right.
You know, now.
Yeah,
because of the
being
competition.
Funny is 10% of
it's
it.
It's 10% of it. It really
you can
is.
See that yeah. by everyone's specials. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Especially because they're not special.
God, it's just.
But it's saturated. It's an oversaturated
so
market.
But don't you think it'll desaturate?
Sure, that bubble will burst.
It'll burst because
Absolutely.
People, the cream always rises.
Yes,
but
and then the few that stand out.
Yeah,
you know, because. Like Dice, the only other person I would say that I saw, I got to be honest, like I don't know Kevin Hart and even Andrew says Kevin Hart's like on a playing field of his own.
Yeah,
like,
he's created his own
He's amazing.
Niche.
Yeah. Yeah, he's ridiculous.
He's like Jay Davis on crack.
Yes. Like
with
he learned every aspect.
Yes.
Yes. And he's funny and he's this and he's that. So he's kind of extremely well-rounded.
He was like, oh, is this?
And he's got his own movies and
yes.
shit. So that's a whole...
You can't hate on
that's
that.
That's high. Yeah, that's high. That's,
people want to.
It's bigger than Eddie Murphy.
It really is.
Because he's doing the tours.
Eddie
didn't like the big tours. He did them, but he hated them.
He hated them. He wanted to do movies.
Yeah, because it was easier.
Yep, it was easier. One shot. One and done.
One shot.
Kevin's what you do if you find a pimp who's reformed from the pimp life and he's funny.
That's Cat Williams.
And then he's got, I don't mean like an
I'm
actual
kidding,
pimp,
I'm kidding.
But that is Cat Williams.
He's not an
when
actual
you stay
pimp.
A pimp.
He's
but
from
he's
Oklahoma.
Got that mentality.
Stop it. I know Cat too
he's
well.
Got that. He's got that like hustler
he
mentality.
He's unbelievable. Like, I said, Dice is like Kevin Hart on a pedestal. Now, Sebastian Maniscalco, on the other hand, did it the old school way. Where word of mouth.
Yeah.
He does have the social media and stuff, but Sebastian would play these clubs and it would just get bigger and bigger. And he never was on TV. He was never on a TV show.
Till like
he
a
was
couple
never,
years ago.
Right. Like just recently.
Yeah.
And he was selling out Carnegie Hall. Was it Carnegie Hall or Westbury Music Fair, things like that.
Yeah.
He was selling out those.
Before
which
he was on TV.
Yeah, which aren't giant arenas, but
they're hard to sell
theaters,
out.
Theaters, giant, like, good size.
Yeah.
And he was selling them out without ever, only off a special. And that was impressive. That is impressive, I should say. Because he's still doing it.
Yeah, he is still doing it. And I remember seeing something Dice posted about Didn't he like call out?
Well, yeah, I will say when I first met Sebastian at the Comedy Store, he
shut up.
We'll be done in a minute, honey.
We're almost there, Carlin. Jeepers.
Do you want me to send Fluffy in there?
Do you want
jeepers.
Jeepers.
Is this PG?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
I just say jeepers. You can say fuck, shit.
Okay, I think I already did.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a
horrible let it fly.
Now.
No.
But what's it,
my fans are gonna laugh that you asked if this was PG.
I love that. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Like, oh man. No, I usually let it rip.
So Sebastian, when he did Sandy Seashore's comedy class, Mitzi's daughter.
Yeah.
Thinking, like, not because, oh, you take a comedy class. He's like, I want to get in the Comedy Store.
Right.
So he thought, oh, this is probably, he didn't realize how much Mitzi and Sandy don't get along. Didn't get along, rather. God rest both their souls. Anyway.
Both their quirky souls.
They both
souls.
Died. Yeah. They're probably fighting up there now. No, you get out.
Yeah. She's calling everyone hacky in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. You're terrible.
Terrible. Jesus is like, I'm
oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. Her and Pryor are running a mic right now. And just fucking shitting on everybody.
Ah, that's funny.
But she, so he thought that would be a good in, you know? And I remember him graduating from her class, and it was awful.
It was?
Yeah. And he struggled. That's why I have so much respect for Sebastian, and so many people do.
Because he stuck through it?
Because he worked his ass off to get... Because I remember when Mitzi passed him, and I'd be like, oh, this bitch is on some blue pills.
Yeah.
She took the wrong. And I said, she would give me the sheet, and you would see the check or the
right.
She would cross it out, or she would put a check.
Right.
That's how the town coordinator knew who to call.
Right.
And so I looked at the sheet, and I thought, oh, my God, this guy just bombed. And
she saw
gave
something.
Him a chess. So then flash to like, and I told Sebastian this on the Comedy Store podcast.
Yeah.
And he goes, I never knew that.
Wow.
Because about 2 years after she passed him, he started killing. I would say it took him about a year, year and a half to figure out his. But we always called him Dice Light and Seinfeld. If they had a baby.
Yeah.
So... he
that's good,
but he's still Sebastian.
Yeah, of course.
That's why, like,
he's
Andrew
his own,
gets
he's his own, and honestly
Andrew got mad at him
something.
With something else, and so he took it out on that.
Yeah,
but it was a private thing that he took it out
right
public, so he got pissed
that's
off
right.
Like,
okay.
All right, I'll
mm-hmm.
out him this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, but he toured with Andrew for a long time too.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Oh yeah, Sebastian used to open because we were obsessed with him at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
So when I said to Mitzi one night, Sebastian's on, it's about a year and a half, 2 years after he got passed, and he's killing because he figured it out. But it took years of him getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
You can look at old lineups where he's on at 1 a.m.
Jesus.
12:45. Like, no one would think, they forget all that work.
Yeah.
And he did all that work. And, So he's on stage, whatever, and he's killing. And Mitzi looks at me and she goes, I surprised myself with the outlaw. I go, you're fucking right you did, bitch, because I had no idea.
And she did it when he... like,
was nothing.
Nothing.
When I say nothing, and she loved that, when you were bare, when she could...
Yeah, because it means
feel like
she
her
found,
stages developed you.
Yeah, she found something and she discovered, like, you know, it's like finding gold.
It's true.
Essentially...
And that motherfucker put the work in like nobody.
Yeah, you can't like that to persevere through the bombs and all of that. Like that to
me.
Oh,
it was the worst I'd ever seen. The other comics were like, how the fuck did this guy get pat? And Sebastian goes, I didn't know they didn't like me. I go, you have no idea.
And like it also to be able to.
Now they respect him so much because they saw it that they're like, oh, shit. But before when he was getting spots that they weren't and he was bombing.
Yeah.
They were like, I'll fucking kill this guy. And he goes, nobody ever said that to me.
I mean, Dane blows it out, like kills whatever.
Right.
However he did it, kills. And she says no. And then Maniscalco bombs and she sees the potential. That's just.
Sure. Louis C.K. too. Louis C.K. killed. And you know what she said about Louis? He's too polished.
Wow.
But she didn't say he was terrible.
Did she say he's polishing his? Did she mean he was polishing too much of his
knob? No, she would have liked that. Mitz was, but she wouldn't. She wasn't attracted to him. So.
Yeah.
But I've seen her pass comics, and she'd be like, "Well, he's handsome." I'm like, ah, come on.
Justin Martindale's favorite claim to fame is that he's the last.
He's right.
Comic.
It's one
that
of the
Mitzi passed. One of the last.
It's one of the she got real excited over too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he is terrific. Like she saw it in his whatever.
Yeah.
And then Justin also a tremendous amount of respect for because he had no idea what the fuck that meant.
Yep.
And then he got thrown into it.
Yep.
And people were again pissed at him.
Yep.
Like,
of course.
Who the fuck is this guy?
Yep.
Out of nowhere. And Rick Ingram, my co-host, said that to him. He goes, oh, I was fucking pissed. Like, who's this fucking guy? And you know what I mean? And then he was eating shit because he couldn't hang.
And the pressure of when you eat shit and then you're thinking about where you are and then it just sort of makes you eat shit more.
Yeah.
You know
and then
I mean?
He got, you know, he got moved to that later spot that, you know, he got that pushed back to the belly room, pushed here, pushed there.
Yep.
But he worked his way to those spots.
Yeah.
And that's the thing people don't.
It takes
people
time.
Get mad about the Comedy Store. Like, I can't get in the Comedy Store. They don't realize how long
it's a long fucking
people
process.
Are in there really pushing and doing their craft. There's a thing in the front of the original room that Mitzi wrote. And it's 3 minutes. And it's not about being funny. It's about being you.
Yeah.
And she says it like, if you can just go up there and be yourself.
Right.
That it'll be seen.
Right.
What you are capable of or what you need is missing, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what the original room stages were for,
right.
Was to develop that kind of raw, funny.
Yeah.
Just you.
Yep.
No bullshit.
No bullshit.
No fucking
pretense.
And that's why she would fight with Dice. She loved the character, but she was like, no, you're taking it too far. You just stay in this lane. And I remember when he did, he told me this story, but he did Day the Laughter Died. And it was one of my favorite albums. I don't know if you...
Yeah, I don't remember a lot.
He did it in front of 8 people.
Wow. That's
in
dope.
In New York.
That's dope.
At Dangerfield. And you can hear glasses clinking. There's nobody in there. It went double platinum. But when he told Mitzi what he did, she goes, that's terrible. It's a terrible idea. Why would you do that?
It does. I mean, on paper, it sounds like a terrible idea.
And Rick Rubin produced it. And Rick was like, I don't think we should do this. Like, maybe we should. Andrew, you have all these big arenas you're doing. Let's do that. And he didn't. He did.
That's why he went to arenas.
That's why. Yeah. Well, he was already, I think, in there. It just made him even more. I think Dice got him in there, the first special, the first album. Day of the Laughter Die was after that. And he did 2 of them. And they both went platinum.
That's
one
wild.
Went double platinum, one
and
just went
that
platinum.
Meant then.
Oof.
God. I mean, I feel like even trying to go platinum now, I don't even know if anyone's...
Can you?
Yeah, I know. Can you?
Louis did, I think.
I mean, it's so different how... Technology has sort of evolved how people are consuming comedy. It's so saturated. It makes you as a comedian want to dig that much deeper.
Exactly.
To find, you know.
Who you are
right.
for real.
Yeah.
Your raw.
Yeah.
You know.
You're what's deep, deep in the crevices.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But to Adam's testament, like what I like about Adam, I've known Adam forever, and he was a manager with us, and he kind of got thrown into that job when the other talent coordinator got thrown out on his ass. And so at first he was like, this is only temporary, poor thing.
Of course, that's
why completely overwhelmed. And then he kind of got, he liked watching comedy, and he's worked in comedy so long that his eye has gotten to the point where he sees the rawness. He sees something.
Yeah.
Now he's finding his way. But now it's no longer, you know, see, the talent coordinator was just somebody that Mitzi would tell who to put on.
Right.
Now the talent coordinator is the actual picker of the talent,
mm-hmm.
which didn't really exist at the Comedy Store for a long, long time, except for the Tommy took over because he was just basically using Mitzi as a puppet and saying, Mitzi said this. Well, Mitzi likes you. And I'm like, no.
Tommy was a...
Mitzi doesn't know who you are, honey.
Hard to deal with.
Yeah, he was a bit of an ass. Hired him, so people don't like me. But I hired
what?
Him. I hired him as a phone guy.
Yeah.
Not a talent coordinator.
Right.
And he was just this fucking burnout. Like, just a old school... He was great. He came in with a fucking guitar. I'm like... Dude, are you in a band? He's like, no.
No. I'm a homeless man. I was just on the bus court.
But he
wasn't.
He has this great girlfriend that he lived with. Like, he had a real life. Yeah. He comes from money.
Yeah.
And it was just a weird fucking thing. And we put him upstairs. I go, look, we need a fucking body in the phone room. So I sent him up to be interviewed. I go, just hire him.
Yeah.
So he went through like four people to get interviewed because we kept just pushing him around. And I'm like, just fucking hire him. Finally, the manager, I think it was Red Rob. We had too many guys named Rob, so we had to name him.
Red Rob. It sounds like a character from Quentin Tarantino.
Yes. And he was a Jersey boy. So he was like, oh, I'll fucking hire him. I'm like, hire him, dick. So we put Tommy in the phone room. I think he was working like 12-hour shifts because we had nobody there. So he would just get high all day.
Slave labor.
Fucking for a nickel, an hour. He would play that stupid guitar and sing songs. And then Mitzi would call, and this was the early stages of her dementia. Oh. So she would call with random things, and he would talk to her and calm her down, you know? So that's how they got close. And otherwise, you know, she would fire phone guys like it was nothing.
Yeah, I didn't know she had I didn't know dementia was
bad.
It was.
Oh, yeah. Hers.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that that was her thing.
Well, we never really got a straight diagnosis,
right?
Because I would take her to the doctor, and they would say, "Well, you have Parkinson's," and she'd go, "Goodbye." And I'm like, "Wait a minute."
Parkinson's and dementia do often get missed.
But then they would give her Alzheimer's, and she didn't like those words. She hated those both words.
They're terrible.
So she would make us leave, and I'd be like, "So nobody's telling you." And then dementia, she'd listen a little because she felt
because dementia sounds.
But it was also
like
a
Alzheimer's
new word
light.
To her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's less scary for people for some reason.
I don't know why. It's crazy.
It just sounds like, you know, it sounds like bloat. Just like you got a little, you know, a little agita.
A little bloat.
You got a little dementia, a little agita.
Yeah, too much
It'll
broccoli.
Go away.
Yeah,
you just need some, you know, you need a Tums.
Yeah.
For your brain. That's it.
Yeah, when, she had a bad. She would call up. And that's why Tommy would console her.
Yeah.
And because he wasn't a terrible person most of the time.
Right.
Like, I feel bad. He did have some old school racist remarks that he would make.
He wasn't like our dads.
Right. Like the great Paul Mooney would tell me, because I would tell him about my dad and some of the things he would say. And Mooney would just die laughing.
I loved it.
And he would go, he goes, look, that's old school. He goes, honey, we're the change. Let him stay who he is.
Exactly.
We're the change.
Yeah.
As it goes down, it's going to change.
Exactly.
But this is what they grew up with.
Yeah, you gotta appreciate that. That's some old school mentality.
Yeah.
Kind of like, it's like nostalgic.
And Mooney was raised by his grandma, who was a slave.
Yeah.
So he was coming from a...
Yes. That's wild.
Bizarre. Like, he's one of my favorites comics.
He
could watch him on it. But he would have ripped Tommy to shreds if he was around that way. Because Tommy would say off... No offense, color remarks.
Yeah.
And, but that's
how
he talks.
Shit. Right. A lot of dudes talk that way. I mean, you still like, you go
Not
back to
the way
Syracuse.
He did it. Like,
you go to any bar in Syracuse right now.
Oh,
you're
going
to hear some shit.
Those people are in charge of your destiny,
it's true.
Possibly.
It's true. Yeah. It can't be somebody who has, like, you know, a decision, an important decision to make on your career. Then you're just like, what the fuck?
Because
still, it's just like,
I remember him telling somebody, well, we already have a fat black guy. And I'm like, okay.
I can't wait to see what it's going to be like in 20 years. Just, we're all going to be back to like chisel. The technology is going to just go away. And we're going to be back to like rolling stones down the hill.
Well, at least I know how to type and I can fix a typewriter if you need.
And you've got a big family. So like, you won't be homeless.
Oh, no.
You
I don't
have
think
like
I could
15
ever.
Houses to go to.
Well,
not
that many.
Not everybody's got those houses set up. What about Fluffy? Is Fluffy up in...
Fluffy's gone.
Fluffy's gone up in heaven.
Died when I was 18.
Gee, fucking Fluffy. That's a long life.
She did. She was 18.
Damn.
Yeah. Because it was my dog. She was my dog. Yeah. Because I was a baby when we got her. Wow. So...
I did not know that you came from such a big family, and I always like.
Oh, I thought you've seen my pretty shitty act. I'm kidding, but I always
shut up, please.
I always talk about
you're
them.
A killer. You're not a shitty.
But
act.
I always talk about them, and my brother Johnny's like, God, if Karen was fucking famous, you'd be famous, because we are so. She has such a funny way of talking.
Fucking Care Bear! I can't believe we both have Karens.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the youngest of three.
Oh, okay.
Girls. Yeah. Chris,
all
Karen,
girls.
Emily, and me. Yeah. Two marriages.
Ooh.
At one point, there were like six of us from three different marriages, but they're stepping stuff, and then people got divorced, and, you know.
But did you guys stay close, or?
Yeah. But okay. I mean, my stepsisters, no, because we just didn't, because our dad was a POS.
I got
piece
it.
Piece of shit. I'm also trying to, like, censor
Jeepers.
Myself, because fuck. I have to do another USO
tour. I feel
tour.
Like I'm on the Andy Griffith Show. I
have to do another USO tour, and I have to entertain
so
children.
So if I do a USO tour, I have to be clean?
You have to have the option. Yes. Because
shit.
There's some bases that have families. I did a show. One of the shows I did was for literally a group, like your family, from 30 years ago.
But my family
it
would
was
be
just
furious if you said Jeepers.
Well, it's not the kids who get offended. It's the people after. I had a woman come up to me after one of the shows, and she goes... You were so funny, but you know, you could leave out the word ovulation. Children don't need to know what that is. And I'm like, I don't think they can say anything over two syllables. I don't think they understand anything over two syllables.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think ovulation is clinical and not dirty at all. So go fuck yourself.
No, true. I did this joke. I was doing the Laugh Factory. It was a clean show. It was early. And I was like, okay, clean show. I can do this. And I can clean it up if I have
to.
Yeah,
but it's not as fun.
So this is what I said. I said my mom's uterus was like a clown car. And the guy flipped out that I said uterus.
It's a clinical term. It's also really
but
funny.
That's religion.
And it's true.
He was a rabbi. And that's religion. They are lock-minded.
Oh,
in
God.
That anything inside the body is a dirty work.
Yeah, okay. Well,
that's why they put a sheet between them.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking I was
going to
say, let's go into their little search engine and see what they've been looking up on the internet. Those damn
anybody.
Rabbis.
I don't trust anybody.
I just want to channel our dads, those fucking rabbis.
Mazzo Cristo disgraziato.
Oh, my God. Are you bilingual?
No, but my whole neighborhood, all their parents were right off the boat, if you will.
Yes.
So,
which is racist of you to say.
I love it.
Kidding.
So my one friend, Dante Tassion, who immediately we got him locked up, was an accident, but he was hanging with the Irish kids and we were breaking into U-Haul trucks. And
oh, my God. That's
what
amazing.
They would do was, you know, they would put you in the back of a paddy wagon and drive you around to scare you.
Yeah.
You know, the cops.
Yeah.
So,
just
so
a little
but it
gentle
was
scare.
A little terrifying.
Yeah.
They just came over. From, you
it's
know,
not scary at all.
Italy. And I want to say they're from Naples. I forget. I'm trying to.
Someplace
I
scary.
I forget.
All those places are scary at some point.
By the way, if Dante heard this, he'd be like, you don't fucking remember. We ruined him. He's still on house arrest, this poor kid. So he made a mistake of becoming friends with the Kerrigans. And
the one face.
The one
oh,
face.
Oh, well, Eleanor one face Kerrigan? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know, huh?
You stay away from her.
So, they're driving us around. They take us to our houses, right? So they take Dante first. And me and Billy, we're sitting in the bed. We're used to this. We're like, don't worry. They're just going to fucking drive us around. So we get to Dante's house. His mother comes out. She's 6'5". The father's the father's 5'4". Amazing. Neither one of them speak English. The father's a tailor. The mother's a home, you know, a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Housewife.
Jesus, housewife.
I can't remember
that. Stay home, a housewife.
And so she comes out in the apron. You know, she's making probably macaroni and gravy like a person. And she comes
macaroni
out.
Macaroni and gravy.
That's how they say it
yeah,
over there.
Yeah.
So she comes out and she's like, oh my God. Like she's the four English words that she knows. And then she starts yelling and she looks at me and Billy and she goes, disgraziato, americans, a tu.
And I go, Bill, I think she's talking to us. I think that's us, buddy.
Oh, that's amazing. I need to like have that just saved on my phone. I need you to like record it on my phone.
Oh, Andrew makes me do it all the time.
And then when I'm in line someplace, I'll just play it and have what is it? Say it again.
Disgraziato, Americans, a tutti.
Is that you spitting on us?
Yeah, she spit at us. She spit on us.
Fucking A.
And she, oh man, his older brother was best friends with my brother Johnny too. So she used to call my mom's house all the time. She was the best, God love. They're the funniest people, but they got used to us. They're like, all right, this isn't that bad. She called my mom's house and she'd go, Rosario home? And I'd be like, excuse me? Poor thing.
What? I want to ask you.
Uh-oh.
It's not serious. You're like, oh, we're really switching gears now.
That's fine.
What have you not accomplished yet that you want to comedically for yourself?
Not? There's everything I haven't accomplished. I'm doing this podcast. I hopefully accomplish something
else.
No,
what is something that you like want? Well, like a goal that you're looking forward to?
Well, I'll tell you, I accomplished one of my goals.
Okay.
And one of them was to start headlining more on my own.
Like
because
on the road?
Yeah. Right. Because I tour with Dice and everywhere I love him. He helps me so much. He's my second ex-fiance. He has no...
Is he?
Rhyme or reason to help me.
Yeah.
You know, he could throw me to the curb, but we're still good friends. Yeah, we dated for like 5 years. I make a lot of mistakes.
I saw some family photo with you guys. Was that real?
Oh, yeah. I'm
oh
sure of it.
Oh, my Lord. Can I have that framed in my house?
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It was
about.
Like you, him, and his son, wasn't it?
Two sons. Yeah, Max
yeah,
and Dylan.
Yeah, and his two sons. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And they were all wearing leathers, and I wasn't. So
what was that fucking photo?
That's my favorite thing about
okay,
Andrew.
I want it framed.
He loves to fuck with people.
Is that real?
Yeah, but okay. For everybody to wear leathers is more of a joke.
That's funny.
So, but not me.
Yeah, right now.
So I'm not in the gang yet.
No.
And I'm not their mom.
Right.
So the mom has pictures of with the leather.
Oh, that's funny.
So when it put it up, like a couple of the comics that know him and know us and know the bullshit, like how he's so silly, they'd be like, yeah, she didn't earn the leather yet. Like you have to earn it, you know, because it's so silly. But we got together and him and his wife went through a pretty not great, nice divorce. Now they're all good friends, thank God. But I know we started dating. People are like, why'd you guys break up? You're so cute together.
You seem like you'd be good together.
And I'm like, yeah, well, I regained consciousness. So I got out. But it's too much. It's a lot. And my best friend passed away in 2005, and he was 35 years old, very funny comic named Freddie Soto. And we were all really tight.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. I like checked out and it was like, this is your life. Kind of what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, it does that.
You're a housewife and you don't have a husband or children, but you do. But
what
I'm not sure what's happening. And Andrew had full custody of his kids.
Wow.
Like, we fought hard for that.
Yeah.
And I was by his side every fucking day. So I'm extremely close with those boys and him, you know.
Yep.
So when we broke up, it was because I was going through a weird thing. But it wasn't like we had so much animosity toward each other. We just kind of tagged out.
Yep.
But we stayed close because the kids and I were so tight. And Andrew, you know, after a while, it took a minute. And then, you know, once I started hooking him up with other girls, he was fine with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Full fucking circle. God
I'm an
damn
asshole.
It.
Right
you're
now.
You're an asshole.
Right now, who's ever listening, he's single.
Is he?
Yes. He's terrible on the dating apps or whatever. I don't even do them. I'm terrible, too.
Someone
but
someone told me about
so
him.
So if you're single and you want to just hit me up. And I'll hook you up.
You're going to be the matchmaker
because
for Andrew
said,
Dice Clay?
Yes.
He said what?
He said, I have 90 days or I'm it. So,
oh,
please.
Shit. No, okay. Listen.
Please get in there, guys.
We need, please send in your dating.
I think there's only 85 days left. This is
profiles.
Like
this is coming out. So there's going to be 80 days left. Please send your profiles for Andrew Dice Clay.
Because I can't do that again.
She can't do it again.
We
where
can't
can
repeat history.
Find you?
Just we're Instagram, whatever.
Ellen, what's your
Eleanor
name on
Kerrigan, EJ Kerrigan.
And what's your
or
are
Eleanor
you on, are you
J. Kerrigan?
You're on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm on all of it. Whatever
where,
they make me do. My
where
kids
can
set
these people
me up.
Find you? What do you got coming up?
Well, that's what I was saying. Yes. I accomplished. So I have a lot of headlining gigs this year.
That's right.
And I'm very proud of that. And it took a long time of people, because I don't have a PA agent.
And that's
my,
like,
first ex-fiance was a PA agent, yeah. So I know how to do it. And he was a pretty big one.
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with how to do it. See, it's just,
I think you
so
pick
hard.
Good men, though, even though... You pick people that are high in their...
Yeah, they got their careers.
Yeah, you got taste.
But I usually get them when shit is gone
wry. Yeah, of
wry.
Course. And then you fix it, and then you're like, oh, fuck, well, I fix this one for the next girl. Bye.
Yeah. So Dice was on the down, and then his... I mean, we had a reality show on VH1 together.
I remember.
Called Dice Undisputed.
Yes.
And I think that's what those pictures were for.
Yeah, okay.
I want to be on...
I still am going to have one framed in my apartment.
Yeah, I'll get you one. Okay. It's great. Because I was going through my goth stage. Jet black
Everyone,
hair.
You should go through goth. As a woman, you got to have a moment.
That actually might have been right after Freddie, because you could see how pale I am. I'm telling you, I was so bad. And then right after my best friend passed away, 20 days later, my grandma died.
Oh, fun. So, thanks, life.
Yeah.
The double whammy. It's
when it
great.
Shuts you down like that.
Girl.
And I fucked
I'm
up
right
my
there.
Relationship with him.
Yeah.
And it's fine. We're still great friends. He's a great guy. He's truly a hopeless romantic.
Oh, he is?
I'm serious.
That's really cute.
I mean, I'll tell you the one thing we didn't get along with, because he loves to buy girls flowers and things like that.
God.
I hate flowers.
I do too, because they die. And then if you have death in your life, you're like, oh, thanks for the reminder that someone died.
Like this Target thing? It's great.
Oh, that's why I love it.
That's going to live
and
forever.
Like, sturdy plants, I like. Flowers, just the dumbest thing you can buy somebody for when somebody dies. Side note, thank you to everybody who sent me flowers. Just don't
sweet.
Take it personally.
Don't
it
send
very
me
sweet
flowers.
And thoughtful. No more flowers. Don't send them to the fucking funeral home, because then all you have is all these dead flowers around the dead guy or dead woman. And you're like, well, I'm surrounded by death.
Yeah. He was like, oh, what am I going to buy if I can't buy flowers? A cologne. And first of all, it's perfume.
Cologne.
He always calls it cologne.
A jupe. You're going to buy me some jupe?
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to buy you flowers and cologne. I'm like, I don't wear perfume. I don't like flowers. So, girls, if you like perfume and flowers.
If you like perfume and flowers and leather.
This is your guy. And leather. He'll buy you a leather. He'll let you wear the leather. He'll let you wear the fingerless gloves.
Oh, God. That's so
hot. It's amazing when you have to wash a whole load of fingerless gloves.
Did you just say a load of fingerless gloves? Hello, memoir title. where are your headlining dates?
So you can go to my website, Eleanor J. Kerrigan. They're all on there. But this week I'm in Minnesota at the House of Comedy.
Awesome.
Yes. I'm very excited to be
great.
Working
You're
with the Bronsons.
Love it. They're amazing. Tammy's like my fam.
I'm so excited
They're
to be working
love
for
you.
Her. She booked me in Phoenix in April.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
Then Edmonton in August.
That's great.
And then I'm at the Brokerage Governors.
Yep.
In Long Island,
what's his
James.
Name? Yep.
And I'm headlining there the February 15th and 16th.
That's awesome.
I'm at Parks Casino in Philly again on the 13th. I'm bouncing around. I got a bunch of in Kansas City at the New Comedy Club, which I should send them your info because he's looking for girls. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I didn't know there
They just opened.
Oh, nice.
So he was a comic, and now his name's
awesome.
Dustin Kaufman, and it's called The Comedy Club in Kansas.
I love that. Simple name.
Yeah. So I'm working for him April 4th, and there's a bunch of
dates.
Great. Just go to my website. It's all on there.
That's awesome.
And the, what do you call it? Impractical Jokers cruise
February,
but that's already sold out.
Yeah, those
Sonic
sell out
Temple
quick.
Isn't sold out, and I'm doing that with Dice and his boys.
When?
So this is a family affair. May 18th, Sonic Temple Music Festival in Ohio.
And they
Columbus.
Can get all these tickets on your website.
On my website,
EleanorKerrigan.com.
Everything's on there.
You're a goddamn delight. You know, I was thinking about this in the shower when I was washing myself, and you were
touching yourself.
I was touching myself gently.
You have to.
You were on your way over, and I was thinking about one of the most annoying things people say in reference to comedians is you're my favorite female comedian.
Oh yeah, it's awful. Dice says it all day.
It's
now
so
he now
annoying.
He does comedy. Now he does comedy.
Comedians, you know. But whenever somebody asks me and I choose the moment to not correct someone, where I'm like, all right, I'm not going to correct this person on the female male situation.
Yeah.
But when they say, you know, who's your favorite female comedian? You're one of the names that I say.
Oh
yeah, because
you.
You're just a badass and
same.
Your style of comedy
you kick
is
ass.
Unique.
That's like,
it's just
cunty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. No, it is. You're ballsy and it's just so it's refreshing. Where I feel camaraderie with you because it's just you.
And then
it's not. There's no like, I don't know, jokes about peanut butter and jelly or. You know, you're standing still. You're just like a colorful performer.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Thank you. That's
yeah.
very
and
sad.
You're a badass, and I'm also kind of scared of you because you have 15
I'm also a street fighter. I'll fight any one of my brothers and sisters.
I know. I'm going to have you back because we need to talk about all that shit. You have so much, too much history for one fucking podcast.
It's amazing.
And you have a podcast as well?
The Comedy Store Podcast.
That's right.
I co-host the Comedy Store Podcast with the great Rick Ingram. And we just tell Comedy Store stories. Like any of those stories, like there's a guy named Mike Becker that was Mitzi's right hand. We interviewed him and we're going to re-interview him again.
Yeah.
Because he has so much. For 17 years, he was her right hand.
Oh, man, I can't imagine what fodder he's got.
Oh, if you get an like episode to listen to, pick the Mike Becker one because it's unbelievable.
Juicy?
Oh, she's ridiculous. God love her.
God
and
rest
she
your
did
soul.
So much for comedy, and I'm sure her and Pryor are fucking shitting on everybody. And
we should
having
send
Pauly
Shore
right
flowers.
Now. No.
No? Okay. Too
Pauly's
late.
No Mitzi. I'm kidding.
Well, Eleanor Kerrigan, you're a damn delight. Thanks for coming on the Sharp Tongue Podcast.
Oh, that's what this is called. I'm so excited.
I know. Sharp Tongue.
As we're saying, jeepers.
I know.
All right.
See, I'm just, it's hard for me to.
No, but it's good.
To
you're
censor
better.
Myself. I'm trying.
My
I'm
daddy's
fucking
a Marine.
Trying.
I want to go on the USO tour.
I know, you have to.
I will clean myself up, I promise.
You just have to clean yourself up, and then you get me in Kansas City, and I'll get you in the USO, and we'll
be
living our dreams simultaneously. As female comedians.
As comedians. Comics.
Hickory dickory dock. Suck my cock.
That's right. I already did.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.